Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Liberators Network podcast. I am Christian Verwijs, and in this episode we're going to talk about why Scrum requires completely done software every single sprint. But before diving into the meat of this episode, I want to take a short moment to thank three of our patrons, Sven de Koning, Peter van der Klis, and Jeroen de Jong. Together with all the other patrons, these are the people that are making this podcast and all the content that we're creating possible. Barry and I do a lot of this work for free. We don't get paid for podcasts, videos, and blog posts, but we really like to do it. And knowing that we have a group of supporters that are that is willing to help us financially in a very small way is a really good way for us to spend more time creating more of this content and reaching more people. So if you like listening to this podcast or if our other content is something you really want to support, you can go to patreon.com and give us a small donation on a monthly basis. You can also support us through our web shop or by joining one of our public events. Whatever support you want to give, we're very thankful for it, but it's definitely something we can make good use of. In the Scrum.org headquarters in Burlington, there is a picture of Ken Schwaber, one of the founders of the Scrum framework, pointing at a sticky saying done. This picture underscores the most essential principle in the Scrum framework: create a done increment every single sprint. But many teams struggle with this principle. It's tempting to fall into shades of done. An increment is considered done by the development team but requires further testing and stabilization in the next sprint. Or work is considered done by the development team but the install package still needs to be created in some future sprint. Or work is considered done but acceptance testing hasn't been done yet. But done doesn't support adjectives like nearly, pretty much, or almost. An increment is done or it isn't. It's really black and white. There's no gray area. And there's a very powerful and compelling reason why that's so important. The Scrum framework only helps to reduce the risk of wasting money and effort when you deliver done increments every single sprint. A new version of your product, that is, or with the proverbial press of a button, can be released to users. In this episode, we will underscore how essential that principle really is. What constitutes done depends greatly on context. Building a website for an external customer will require different work than when you're working with different Scrum teams on mission-critical software for internal users of your company. It depends on the quality guidelines that already exist within your organization, on how critical the software is to the business, the level of involvement of users, the technologies in use, and many other factors. Now suppose that you're building a new feature for your product as part of your current sprint. Building this feature requires a workflow of all sorts of tasks to move it to done. From writing code to creating unit tests, from creating a design to testing it on mobile devices, and from testing it with users to integrating it with work done by other teams on the same product. And ultimately deploying it to your users. Now necessarily this requires all sorts of skills in the development team. And it requires an effective workflow to do all of this within a single sprint. Now many teams starting out with the Scrum framework are initially unable to do this because of technical and organizational impediments. They may not have the skills to deploy packages to production, or they may not be allowed to do so. They may not have the skills to create designs and to implement them and to test them with users. They may not have the skills to do certain kinds of acceptance or unit testing, depending instead on other departments or other teams to do it for them. Now, in these scenarios, it may be tempting to limit the definition of done to what a development team can actually achieve in a sprint. So they may end up defining done as something like the code has been peer-reviewed by another developer in the team, unit tests have been written and are passing, and the code is merged and has been checked into the development branch of a version control system. More specifically, the development teams will move items to done on their Scrum board when it meets those criteria. This development team may think that they are delivering a done increment every sprint. After all, they can tick all the boxes in their definition of done. But are they really? But with a definition of done that is mostly focused on working code, like the one we're talking about now, the resulting software will be hard to review by the product owner. Any feedback on this intermediate result will be incomplete at best, because a product owner can only look at code, and that will make it very difficult for him or her to give feedback. And the same goes for stakeholders and users. Now, a number of things may happen in the next sprints after the development team considers items done, according to their definition of done, when other steps in the workflow are completed. Let's take a look at some examples of what I mean by this. For example, when reviewing the feature during the sprint review, the product owner may determine that an essential element that was promised to stakeholders is missing, requiring that the development team spend time on this during the next sprint. Or, while testing the feature, a user may discover in the next sprint that there's a breaking bug that needs to be fixed. Or maybe integration of the code with work done by other teams for the same product fails in the next sprint, requiring that the development team spend some part of their time to resolve complicated merge conflicts that happen as a result of that. It's also possible that when trying to deploy the feature to production in a future sprint, the install fails. After investigation, the development team may discover that the issue is caused by a missing dependency that needs to be fixed. It's also possible that a security scan uncovers that the feature is susceptible to SQL injection, requiring that the development team fixes that issue during one of their next sprints. And finally, as another example, the feature may turn out to be unusable by people with poor eyesight, maybe an important group of users of your product, requiring that the user interface is tweaked so they can actually use it. Now, fundamentally, all the examples that I gave, it represents work that is not discovered during the current sprint, but instead it is discovered or pops up during future sprints. And this makes them examples of what is called undone work. Work that is required to truly complete an item on the product backlog and is not covered by the definition of done of the development team. Undone work has four huge consequences. Now, the first reason is that it draws time and energy from the development team from the focus and work in future sprints. The bigger the gap between what a team defines as done and what is actually needed, the more disruptions and interruptions will happen in future sprint because of undone work. It will become progressively harder for the Scrum team to make any kind of meaningful forecast about work in future sprints. The second reason is that because undone work is not discovered during the current sprint, it is unclear and unpredictable how much of it will occur. This decreases the transparency of the increment and the features being developed. More specifically, it will be harder to answer questions from stakeholders about whether or not a feature is done, and maybe even when it will be done. The third reason is that Scrum teams can easily fool themselves into believing that they are successful by staying busy. They pull a lot of work into their sprint backlogs, their velocity may look excellent, everyone may be working really hard all the time, but at the end of the sprint, there is no potentially releasable product increment. There may be something that the team considers to be done, but it's not done in reality. And the fourth and final reason is that the risk of software development remains high, as both the state of the increment and its features, but also the amount of undone work remaining, is not transparent. We still can't validate assumptions about features or the product as a whole because it isn't really done. Now, taken together, this will erode the trust in the Scrum team over time as stakeholders and management lose confidence in what the team and Scrum can deliver for them. Now, let's take a look at three examples to illustrate the point. I recently worked with a Scrum team that had spent months customizing software for complicated machinery in their organization. They involved users from the very start and worked hard to release done software every sprint. But for practical reasons, they decided not to roll out to the actual machinery, effectively keeping the software running in a pre-production environment. Now, when they did decide to roll out, they discovered that hardware issues caused so many unexpected issues in the software that users reverted back to the old software. After months of work, the team was confronted with the possibility that the project had to be cancelled altogether, effectively negating the entire investment up to that point. Another example is a team that I once participated in that was building a product that was supposed to change the market that we were operating in at the time. Now, the product owner was really convinced that this was going to be a source of money for the company, that everyone was waiting for it, that the market was ready for it. So, spurred on by positive feedback from the internal organization only, we continued developing that product. But the product was never exposed to actual users and customers throughout its first year of development. And when it was finally deployed and released to users in the market, the expected demand for the product didn't pan out at all, effectively wasting the investment. And the last example is a more personal one, in the sense that we recently spent a week with a development team to build the website for the Liberators. Although very small by comparison, we noticed how both the product owner and stakeholders could only provide useful feedback to product backlog items that were really done. It was hard for the product owner and for stakeholders to give feedback on work that wasn't really completely done yet, because it still had temporary images or temporary texts in them. Or maybe they were just wireframes. So we really discovered there, also ourselves, very tangibly as customers, how important it is to give feedback on something that is actually done. Now these examples illustrate how limiting done reduces your ability to minimize the risk of complex work. It also illustrates how releasing to users early and often is really the best way to mitigate risk of complex work. It also illustrates how defining done should be a collaboration between development teams and product owners, integrating both technical and business considerations. In the Scrum framework, having a complete definition of done is your most powerful risk detector for complex work. It helps you reduce the risk of undone work by making transparent all that is needed to create done increments every single sprint. It will also make very transparent all the impediments that are getting in the way of achieving that goal. So you can think of missing skills, missing tools, missing technologies, organizational bureaucracy, politics, a product owner without mandate or vision. All these things will make it hard to create a truly done increment. And that's powerful information to make transparent. So now what? Obviously, creating a done increment every sprint is a tall order for any Scrum team. But there are definitely some things that can help. The first is that it's important, as a Scrum Master in particular, to maintain a ruthless focus on creating done increments. If you can deliver a potentially releasable increment in a sprint, don't fill the sprint backlog with work to give the impression that you're creating value. Instead, populate the sprint backlog with whatever is needed to create potentially releasable increments. This may involve setting up infrastructure, doing automation, learning skills or technologies, and removing organizational impediments. The second is that you want to make the gap between what you can do and what is needed for done transparent. Don't go the easy way and limit your definition of done to what you can realistically do. Instead, identify what you should be doing to achieve a done increment and offset it with what you are currently capable of doing. List all the things getting in the way as impediments that need to be resolved, and keep reminding everyone involved, in particular management, that you will only start making value and reducing risks when those gaps decrease. And the third thing you can do is to make it smaller and simpler. The simplest truth in Scrum and everything agile is to make it smaller and simpler. This is why refinement is such an important activity in the Scrum framework. If it's impossible to go through all the required steps for a piece of software, make it smaller and focus on getting those smaller bits through the entire pipeline in one sprint. Less really is more with the Scrum framework. And finally, it's not about the Scrum framework, it's about reducing risk and maximizing value and making impediments to that transparent. It may be tempting to throw your hands in the air and consider what Scrum asks of you to be impossible. But in the world of complex work, which software and product development really is, an empirical process like the Scrum framework is the best tool we have to reduce risks and to maximize the value we can deliver to stakeholders. Furthermore, it is the best way to make everything holding you back, like team composition, organizational procedures, and other bottlenecks, transparent and therefore potentially resolvable. And yes, this transparency will sometimes hurt. Now, a hard truth is that if you are unable to deliver a done increment at least every sprint, you aren't there yet. You can congratulate yourself on your journey towards working with Scrum, towards working empirically. But don't fool yourself by calling it Scrum. Because your ability to detect risks is still very limited, you will see very little benefits of the empirical process that the Scrum framework is all about. But the good news is that keeping a ruthless focus on creating done increments every single sprint will make everything getting in the way of that very visible and therefore resolvable. And I think that that also summarizes the responsibility of the Scrum Master in the Scrum framework. It can be very tempting as a Scrum Master to focus all your time and effort on facilitating sprint retrospectives in a very creative and original way. And although there's a lot of fun in doing that, the ultimate value of a Scrum Master is in their ability to make sure that organizations and teams can work empirically. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you can create done increments every sprint. So if there's anything you're going to spend time on as a Scrum Master, spend time on this and making sure that this is transparent and that all the impediments that are getting in the way of doing that are made transparent and that you bring together the people that you need to resolve that. Ultimately, that's more important than facilitating a very cool and awesome sprint retrospective. Now, this is a difficult challenge and we want to wish you all the best with that. And if you're stuck with that in some way, please let us know. We're always eager to help, and we're always eager to connect you with other people that can help you maybe from their own perspective and experience. Let us know in the comments if you need some. And with that, we're reaching the end of our episode. In this episode, we covered why done is so important for the Scrum framework, and more importantly, for working empirically. We appreciate that you're taking time out of a busy day to try something new, to learn something new about the Scrum framework. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Now, if you did, please give it a thumbs up or claps or stars or whatever works in the platform that you're listening on. Thank you very much for listening and see you next time.